You know, sometimes I wish God was more direct in his instructions to us. Now, the Bible's pretty direct, but what I'm talking about, wouldn't it have been wonderful if God had given us a whole book in the Bible that were written just to husbands, so that we could just take that one book and we could open up that one book and we could study it. The word husband is mentioned over, groom, mentioned over 200 times in the Bible, but wouldn't it have been wonderful if all those verses were together in one book and we could turn to one book and read everything that God wanted us to know as a husband. In the same way, wouldn't it have been wonderful for all the wives that are here if God had put all the 400 verses that are in the Bible that are directed at wives in one book so that you could open that one book of the Bible and read that one book and get all the instructions in one place. And the same thing, if he would have put all the instructions to us as parents, to fathers and mothers, into one book, and we could just open that one book and find all the verses that were directed at parents. Closest to that I can find in the Bible is Proverbs 31, where he talks about the virtuous woman, where the last part of that chapter talks about the virtuous woman. But then I remembered when I was thinking about that earlier this week that God knows us, and he knows that if something's easy, it won't stick. And so he made it a little bit difficult so that we would have to study the Bible and we would have to glean from the Bible in the many different places that there are instructions to husbands, to wives, and to parents. This morning, I want to give a charge to all the mothers. I want to take up just a few minutes and look at five different moms that are mentioned in the Bible, all of them exhibiting a trait that I would like to point out to the mothers that are here today that ought to be part of your motherhood as well. And in many, many cases, even from my own personal observation, that trait is already there. But I would like you to notice all five and make sure that you endeavor to have all five of them in your mothering. And all the dads might say, well, I should have stayed home. There won't be anything in the message for me today. No, some of these same traits need to be in dads. And by the way, dads, you have, and fathers, you have the responsibility to help mom be the kind of mother that she needs to be, just like she has the responsibility to help you be the kind of dad that you need to be. And if you're here and neither a mother or a dad, you might say, well, there's nothing in this message for me. No, you're a child of God. And whenever we open the book of God, there's always something that the Holy Spirit can use for every single person that's here. So I'd invite you to listen. I'm well aware of what time it is. I'm aware well that I only have about 20 minutes, but I will guarantee you that the pot roast won't burn. You'll get home in time to take it out of the oven. But if you need to listen. And so now if I see you not listening, I may have to keep you just a tad longer. So you can help me by listening this morning. But now let me say, I'm not going to mention prayer this morning. I'm going to devote a whole message on that tonight, if the Lord allows, talking about moms that in the Bible that are an example for us to pray. But I want to mention five other things this morning. Five different moms. And I want to start in the book, you don't need to turn, but I want to start in the book of 1 Samuel and with the mother named Hannah. And I've and these different mothers I've picked out at different stages in their motherhood. Hannah in the book of 1 Samuel is a mother that, or a lady that wants to be a mother. And she prayed in 1 Samuel chapter 1 verse 11. She said, and she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou will indeed look on the affliction of thy handmaid and remember me and not forget thy handmaid, but will give unto thy handmaid a man child, then will I give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall be no razor come upon his head. Hannah and her husband, whose name was Elkanah, belonged to the tribe of Ephraim. Elkanah had two wives, one named Hannah and one named Peninnah. The Bible says that Peninnah had children and Hannah had none. And in verse 6 of that chapter, the Bible says, and her adversary, the devil, also provoked her sore, for to make her fret, because the Lord had shut up her womb. And the Bible tells us that Elkanah and his two wives and his family, they went to the temple and worshipped every year. There was a day set aside for them to come, and they came. And it was on that occasion when they were at the temple, when Hannah was there at the temple, that she prayed this prayer that I read just a moment ago. She prayed it. She said, "Lord, look on me. Please remember me. Please don't forget me. Give me a little boy. And if you'll give me a little boy, I'll give him back to you all the days of his life." And God heard that prayer, and God answered that prayer. And there was a little boy born to Elkanah and Hannah named Samuel. And Hannah kept her promise. She gave Samuel back to the Lord. Every mother that's here this morning should realize that every little child, every little boy, every little girl is a gift from God. And that child really belongs to him. You know, we've come to the place in our society where we've taken children for granted. We treat them commonplace so many times in our thinking. If we could go back and we could stand in the Garden of Eden when God took the dust of the ground and made it into mud and formed Adam, and the Bible says breathed in his nostrils the breath of life, and we could see as God created Adam in the Garden of Eden, we'd stand back and we'd say, "Wow, what a miracle. What a work of God." If we could go back into the Garden of Eden when God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam and he slept, and the Bible says he took a rib and the flesh thereof and he healed up Adam, and then he took that piece of flesh and that rib and created Eve for Adam, we'd stand back and we'd say, "Wow, what a miracle of God. What a work of God." I want to remind you this morning that it's just as much a miracle of God when every little boy and every little girl is born. Just as much a miracle. It's just as much a work of God when a little life comes into the world as it was when in the Garden of Eden when he created Adam and Eve. And it's just as much an act of God's creation when a little baby boy or a little baby girl comes into the world. It's just as much an act of God's creation. And every one of us should realize that every little child is a gift from God that should be treasured and should be nurtured. That's why abortion is a sin. It's destroying a gift of God. It's not a woman's right. It's not a woman's choice. It's a sin with a capital S. That little life that they destroy is a gift from God. And that's why child abuse is a sin. It's damaging a gift of God. And I'll be honest with you, I think I needed the Sunday school lesson this morning on forgiveness. Because if there's one thing that comes into my life when I hear about it that makes me want to lose my Christianity, that makes me want to forget that it's God that hates the sin but loves the sinner, that makes me want to forget that I'm supposed to be forgiving like him, it's child abuse. And Bonnie, my secretary, and I were talking about Friday. She was telling me something she'd read about in the newspaper, a little 3-month-old baby girl that was abused by somebody. And I just want to rise up and just say, "Take him out and hang him. Take him out and kill him." And so I needed the lesson on forgiveness this morning. But every little child is a gift of God. Now let me ask you, just to get you thinking about it, when does a person quit becoming a child of God? A gift from God? Hang on a minute, Minnie. Don't get ahead of me. Stay with me. How old do they get before they quit becoming a gift of God? 16? Yeah, there's some teenagers, I wonder if they're a gift from God or not. But no, 16? 25? 50? 75? How big do they have to get? 10 pounds? 25 pounds? 100 pounds? More than 100 pounds? 6 feet tall? 6.5 feet tall? How big? How tall? How old does a person have to get before they quit becoming a gift of God? And many had it right. They never do. Every single person in this room is a gift to the rest of us from God. And when we mistreat each other by what we say or by what we do or the attitude that we have toward each other, it's just as much an act of child abuse as it is taking a little baby and doing something wicked to him. And so to every mother and to every other person here this morning, I would remind you and charge you that every child is a gift from the Heavenly Father that should be loved and nurtured and cherished. Second mother I'd like us to look at this morning is not even named in the Bible. She's just referred to as Manoah's wife. I would call her a mother-to-be. She was a woman with child or pregnant. In Judges chapter 13, the Bible says, "Now therefore, beware, I pray thee, and drink not wine nor strong drink, and eat not any unclean thing. For lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come on his head. For the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines." Manoah and his wife belonged to the tribe of Dan. Again, we don't know her name, but she was visited by an angel and given this instruction. And the angel said, "Now look, you're going to conceive, and the child that's going to be within you is going to be a Nazarite from the time he's conceived. And so drink no wine, nor strong drink, nor eat no unclean thing." And Manoah and his wife, when the angel came and gave them this instruction, they said, "Let it be according to your own words. Let it be." And during that pregnancy, Manoah's wife followed the angel's instruction. She drank no strong drink. She drank no wine. She ate no unclean thing. They had a little boy that was named Samson. And Samson was used of God to deliver his people from the Philistines. And this morning, I would remind every mother that they should realize that every child, every little boy, every little girl, every little baby that's born is not only a gift from God, but is born with a purpose. That God has a plan for that little baby's life. That God has a job for them to do. That God wants to use them in His kingdom. And our responsibilities as mothers and fathers is to help that little child as they grow to find the plan of God for their life and to do it. I was thinking this week, what if Manoah's wife had disobeyed the angel? What if she had, while she was pregnant, partook of wine or strong drink or ate something unclean? Would that have disqualified Samson from being what God wanted him to be? Would God have had to gone to plan B? Would he have had to found something else for Samson to do? And I wonder how many of us as moms and dads maybe have disqualified our children and kept them from doing what God wanted them to do and caused God to go to plan B because we were not what we were supposed to be. We were not the right kind of example. We were not the right kind of Christian. We did not bring them up in the church. And I charge every mother and every dad, not only is that little child that God's placed in your possession a gift from Him, but it's a gift that He has a purpose for, that He wants to use. And the plan that He has before that little child is conceived, before mom and dad were born, before you were brought together as husband and wife, God had a plan for that little life that He's given you. You make sure that you don't disqualify that child from fulfilling that plan of God. You be what God wants you to be. You be the kind of mom and the kind of dad and the kind of husband and wife that God wants you to be. So that child can see your example and can follow God and achieve the will for his life or her life. Jochebed is the third mother I'd like to mention to you this morning. I put her in the category of a mother that's just starting out. In Exodus chapter 2, the Bible says, "And there went a man of the house of Levi and took to wife a daughter of Levi, and the woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months." That man's name was Amram. That lady's name was Jochebed. They were slaves in Egypt. And the law of the land was that if you had a little boy, he had to be killed. It was Pharaoh's law that if a Jewish woman had a little boy, he was to be taken and killed. And this mom said, "He's not getting mine." She hid him for 3 months. As long as she could. And I don't have time to tell you the rest of the story. But then she had another plan that God blessed. But for 3 months, she hid him from Pharaoh, who said, "He needs to die. He needs to be killed." She hid him from the soldiers that carried out that order. She hid him from the society that said, "Yeah, every little Jewish boy needs to be killed." And every mother that's here this morning needs to realize that not only is that little child a gift from God, not only does God have a purpose for that little child, but number three, that Satan desires to foil that purpose. That Satan desires to mess up that life. That Satan desires to get a hold of that little child and destroy it so it can never be used by God. And every mom and every dad, I would charge you this morning, you hide your children from the world just as long as you can. You keep them out of Satan's grasp. You keep them out of the world's grasp. They have no desire but to destroy your child. They have no desire but to tear them down so that God can't use them. Now that means that you're going to have to watch what they watch on the television. That means you're going to have to monitor what they listen to on the radio and their music that they buy. And it's a mistake, I'll tell you right now, it's a mistake for you to let your child have a TV in their room where they can shut the door. It's a mistake where they can play their own kind of music in their room where you can't hear it and where you can't monitor it. And you say, well, Brother Darrell, my children are teenagers. I can't control them. I like what, if you really said this, no church, no eating. That's what my dad told me till the time that I moved out of my house, until the time I moved out of his house. He says, if you're going to put your feet underneath my table, you're going to live by my rules. And one of his rules was I come to church. One of his rules was I obey mom and dad. And one of his rules was I listen and watch on TV and on the radio what was right. And I didn't get to choose. He got to choose. And if your child is still living under your roof, you still have that right to do the same thing. You can choose what they listen to. You can choose what they watch. Because Satan is going to try to get in and tear down your child and destroy him. And you're the guardian. You're the one that needs to put up the walls and build a fence. Jochebed did, and that little boy turned into the man Moses, who God used to bring his people to freedom. And I know there's people that'll say, you're going to destroy your child. You try to keep them from the world, you're going to destroy them. They're going to destroy their psyche. You need to let them get out and get exposed to all that stuff so they can learn how to make their own decisions. You listen to me, that's Satan talking to you, and that's the stupidest thing I've heard. Would you let your little baby crawl into a construction site where there are all sorts of holes and equipment around? No, you'd protect them. Huh? Would you let your little baby or a little guy like Zachary, size 2 or 3 years old, would you let them wander into a nuclear power plant by themselves and say, go explore, see what life has to offer? No, you wouldn't do that. You wouldn't take them to downtown Flint or downtown Detroit and when they were 8 or 9 years old and say, go ahead, walk the streets and discover what life is really about. No, you wouldn't let them do that. And it's just as stupid, pardon me, but it's just as stupid to let an ungodly producer of wicked TV shows and an ungodly writer and producer of music to decide and help your children decide what's right and what's wrong. Your mom, your dad, you draw the lines, you draw the walls. And you keep the world away from them as long as you can. The fourth mother I'd like to look at this morning is John Mark's mother. I put her in the category of a determined mother. A determined mother. Her name was Mary. Don't know what her husband's name was. But I want to read 5 verses from you from the book of Acts and then one from 2 Timothy. Listen. And when he had considered the thing, he came to the home of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. And Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem when they had fulfilled their ministry and took with them John, whose surname was Mark. And when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews, and they had also John, Mark, to their minister. Now when Paul and his company loosed from Paphos, they came to Perga in Pamphylia, and John, departing from them, returned to Jerusalem. And then 2 Timothy chapter 4, only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. Here was a mom that realized that every child was a gift from God. Here was a mom that realized that every child is born with a purpose. Here was a child or a mom that realized that every child needs to be protected from the world. And she tried to do that with John Mark. That verse says that the church even met in their home. That when they were gathering together praying for Peter because he was in prison, they were gathered in her home. And Mary exposed John Mark to the Bible and to the things of God from his young childhood. She watched as he grew up. She was proud of her son when he left to Jerusalem and went to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas. She was prouder still when she got a letter from John Mark and said, "Mom, I'm going on a missionary journey with Paul and Barnabas. We're going to go into the world and we're going to tell people about Jesus." And how her heart beat within her and how proud she was that her son was going to go tell people about Jesus. A few days later, John Mark shows up at home. And Mom says, "What are you doing here? Why are you here? I thought you were with Paul and Barnabas. I thought you were going into the world to tell people about Jesus. What's going on?" John Mark says, "Mom, I couldn't take it. It was too rough. Too much work. I missed you. I quit. And I came home." Paul wrote him off. You remember when Paul and Barnabas got ready to go on the second missionary journey, they had such a big fight about whether they were going to take John Mark or not that they split. But Mom said, "Okay, here's my son. He made a mistake. He messed up." She says, "I'm not giving up on you." The child has a purpose in God's kingdom. And we need to protect that child from the world and from Satan. And when they mess up, if they do, that we don't give up on them. But number five, and this is the one that's probably most important, they need to get a hold of your faith. They need to learn from Mom and from Dad that God can be trusted. They need to learn from Mom and Dad that God keeps His word. They need to learn from Mom and Dad that what God says He's going to do, He will do. And they, and let me just make this statement. Your children, in most cases, are going to have your faith. They will. The Bible says, well, let me ask you, what kind of faith are your kids getting from you? What kind of faith? The Bible says, faith without works is dead. And if you have a faith where there's no works, that your children never see that you trust God, that your children never see that God keeps His word in Mom and Dad's life, then that's the kind of faith they're going to have. But if you have a faith with works, where in your life your kids see, boy, Mom and Dad believe God. Mom and Dad trust God. Mom and Dad, they put their trust in Jesus for heaven. Mom and Dad told me that they were sinners and that the penalty for that sin was hell. And they trusted Jesus to take care of that in their life. You know, that's a wonderful thing that a mom and a dad can tell a little boy or a little girl. I was a sinner headed for hell, but I trusted Jesus, and now I'm on my way to heaven. Your children are going to get your faith. What kind of faith is it going to be? Grandma Lois, and thank God for grandmas. I'm waiting for Grandparents Day so I can peek. I already got a message to grandparents. But thank God for grandmas and for moms and for grandpas and for dads that live their life in such a way that their kids can see their faith and can say, "That's the kind of faith I want. I want the faith that my mom and my dad had. I want that God. I want that same relationship with that God." And if you're here today and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, there's not a better thing that you can do to honor your mother, whether she's alive or has already gone to heaven. There's not a better thing that you can do to honor her than to come and to receive Christ as your Savior. Put your trust in Him for heaven. And I invite every single person that doesn't know Jesus to do that today. Mother's Day would be a wonderful day to get saved. If you're here today and the Holy Spirit's spoken to you about something else, maybe about baptism, maybe about church membership, then you be obedient to him too. But thank God that we have these kind of examples in the Bible. Every child is a gift from God, comes with a purpose, needs to be protected from the world, needs to never be given up on, and needs to be taught our faith. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for these examples from the Bible. Thank you for the moms here this morning that already have all these traits in their life. Father, I pray for those that the Holy Spirit's spoken to this morning, maybe just one point in the message, and say, hey, I need to work on that. And I pray that you'd help them. I pray that you give them the determination to be more like the mother that you want them to be. I pray for the dads here. Father, you know what you want us to be as dads. And some of the things that we talked about this morning are just as true for dads as they are for mothers. And so I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would speak to us and that you would work in our lives to make us the kind of moms and dads that we need to be. And then, Holy Spirit, I pray most of all, if there's somebody here that doesn't know Christ as their Savior, they're still a sinner. They still face the penalty of that sin an eternity apart from their Creator God. They're here this morning. I pray that, Holy Spirit, you would show them that Jesus is the only way to get those sins taken care of, the only way to heaven. And would you help them come this morning, receive Christ. Bless the invitation. Use it as you see fit. Help us to give Jesus all the glory. For it's in his name we pray.